Okay, good morning. Sorry for the delayed start today.
We are up to the bracha Rifa'enu, I believe. Okay. This bracha also has more or less three phrases. Seems to be a very common structure of the brachas. Three phrases. Rifa'enu Hashem and Rifa'enu Hashem and Rifa'enu Hashem. Actually, it's, four, okay. Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rifa'i, Hashem v'nei Vashaya. Heal us, Hashem, and we will be healed. Save us, and we will be saved. Kisu Hasenu Ata, because you are our praise, or presumably in this context, meaning because you are the one to whom we look. V'halei Rifa'i Shleim L'chom HaKosenu, and bring about a speedy, complete healing to all of our ailments. Kikeo Melech Rofei Neman Rachman Ata. Because you are a reliable and merciful doctor. And then you have the chasima. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. You could say five phrases, but it depends on how you break it down. Okay, let's leave the number. That's not really so significant. But the commentaries right away are trying to figure out what the need for the repetition is. And the repetition is really twofold. Number one, we ask Hashem to heal us and to save us. And number two, we ask Him to heal us completely. So why not just say, Rifa'enu Hashem, Rifa'u Shleima, L'chom HaKosenu. That'll do the trick. Why is it necessary to have so many phrases seemingly about the same idea? So within the multitude of these phrases, and again, different commentaries, as often the case, they'll explain, let's say if you have two phrases, A, B. So there's a consensus that it's trying to bring about two ideas. Now, which exact phrase is referring to idea one, and which exact phrase is referring to idea two? That's what sometimes you have. The different mefarshim will go in different routes. But what you do have here is a consensus. Both, let's say, Rav Schwab mentions this in his recorded lectures, as well as the classic commentaries in the Otar Tzvilas, that apparently this bracha is trying to highlight a very important hashkafic idea, and that is that we view any physical ailment in the world as manifesting some kind of spiritual ailment. And whether that's, and this actually is part of a separate discussion of this bracha, whether that's in terms of direct punishment for a particular avera, or whether it's a reflection of the fact that had the person been on a higher level, that he would have been zocheh to a higher level of hashgacha, which would have prevented that ailment from occurring, or whether it means the general lower state of the world that has existed ever since the time of the fact that Adam and Chava sinned and violated the Dvar Hashem and exited the Gan Eden world, which was the perfect world with no sorrows whatsoever. But in all of those ways, sorrows in the world is as a result of some kind of deficiency in Avodas Hashem, whether it's ours specifically, on the national level, on the world level, it's some kind of deficiency. So we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we are asking for refuah, for two things. Number one, and more importantly so, to guide us in correcting the spiritual defect or flaw that is causing it. And number two, to, if you will, in modern medical terminology, to diagnose the true source of the illness, and then to correct that, and then to treat the symptoms. Of course, from a medical perspective, let's say a person has a runny nose, coughing, sneezing, congestion, so on and so forth. So you could take Tylenol cold or whatever, no advertisements on the any particular brand, whatever. You could take a decongestant, cough suppressant, combination of all of these things. So, or the doctor could tell you that you have a virus or let's say a bacteria that they could treat. Take the antibiotics, and that is the, what do they call that? Not the symptoms, but the, the underlying cause of the diagnosis of what the sickness is, and to treat the sickness rather than just the symptoms. Right, it's a multi-million dollar business to treat just the symptoms. Matter of fact, probably the drug industry has it in just to treat the symptoms, because then you'll come back for more, but obviously if you're gonna go to the root cause of the problem, that's the car. From a medical perspective, obviously it stops at the physical plane. But from the total perspective, and as religious Jews, we try to see the total perspective, which is parenthetically, that's teaching Tanakh this year. So that's part of what historical Tanakh tries to do, to try to show you that things are not just based on the physical perspective, but there's a spiritual dynamic that caused that physical perspective to occur. So too, in illnesses, we ask Hashem for a total healing package, and not just to stop at the healing of the individual ailment, even if it's not just the symptoms, but the physical cause of it. But we realize that the physical cause of sickness, or generally sorrows in the world, is a result of our distancing from Hashem. So we ask Hashem to please heal us in both ways, in the spiritual plane and the physical plane. Exactly which of these phrases refers to which of those aspects, so that's a machlokas and a mafarshim. So let's just take one approach, that Rifeinu Hashem v'nei Rafei, heal us in the spiritual capacity, without a reference to any makos, doesn't speak about any specific illness, heal us. And then, Hashem v'nei could mean a repetition of the same idea, perhaps slightly nuanced idea, slightly different idea rather, but then it says, v'hal yifur shleim l'chol makoseinu. So again, the first phrase not mentioning makos, the second phrase mentioning makos. The first phrase, this is Rav Schwab's approach, referring to the spiritual root cause of the sickness, and the second phrase, we call it the third phrase, but let's put the first two phrases together. Rafeinu Hashem v'nei Rafei, Hashem v'Mashiach, and Haleir Foshlem Chol Makoseinu, calling that the second general phrase here, that refers to makos. Now, what is proof to this? This is something that I don't think we really elaborated upon in previous shurim. I'll take a moment out to discuss this. I remember my Rebbe Rosh Hashem speaking about this a lot, that the Avodrum started a wasn't necessarily the first one to do it, others did it as well, but since he's one of the most famous Rishonim to write on the Siddur, so he the premise of the Avodrum Sefer is that the Siddur is written based on the language of the Tanakh. And therefore, much of what the Avodrum does, although not exclusively, is not just commenting on the Siddur, but pointing out which pasuk in Tanakh the particular phrase in the Siddur is patterned after. That's why sometimes you could have paragraph for paragraph Avodrums with, at least simply speaking, no chidushim in terms of what it means, just where it comes from. And later, Mefarshim follow his footsteps, sometimes just quoting him, sometimes going in a slightly different route. But what Rav Schwab expands upon at length is the fact that by tracing back the source of where the psukim come from, oftentimes that will shed light on what the phrase means. Because sometimes it seems that it's just a phrase that's borrowed from there, and it's not necessarily being used in the exact same way. But oftentimes, and sometimes it fits in very nicely, that we could borrow from the context in which it was originally taken to shed light on what the meaning is, when the meaning might be vague. So if you look at the psukim in Yirmiyah, where this comes from, so here the art scroll sometimes points out the psukim, sometimes doesn't. Here they do. Al pi Yirmiyah, Yud Zayin, Yud Dalet, right? So usually when the phrase is more lengthy than just like, you know, two words or so then it seems to be a paraphrase of almost the whole pasuk, so usually the article will quote it. If it's just a small phrase, the Avodrum might note it, but the article doesn't usually do that then, in that case. So there, in Yeshaya, it reads as follows, Rifa'eni Hashem ve'erafei, hoshi'eni ve'ivashaya, ki sehila si'ata. It's written in the singular. And in context, it sounds like that it's referring to the Klal Yisrael singular, meaning it's not referring to Yirmiyah calling out to Hashem, but he's the poetic, prophetic voice of the Jewish nation calling out to Hashem to heal the nation at large. And in this forum, we don't have the time to go to the perek in total, but if you look at that perek on your own, if you can, see the context is that Klal Yisrael is sinning. And then Yirmiyah calls out to Hashem, and they're worried about sorrows that maybe Yirmiyah himself is prophesizing are going to occur. So then he calls out to Hashem, Rifa'eni Hashem ve'erafei Hashem v'sheah. So in the context, it's clear that the refuah that they're asking for is help us do tshuva. So based on that, in addition to the fact that it's redundant in this bracha, and also the fact that the original psukim in Yirmiyah seem to be referring to a spiritual refuah. So then Rav Schwab suggests that that series of first phrases, Refa'inu Hashem v'nei Refa'inu Hashem v'nei Refa'inu as opposed to the second phrase, V'alei'efu Hashem v'chol makaseinu, again I'm using first and second in a specific way. First refers to the spiritual, and the second refers to the physical. I threw in enough vagueness at the beginning to point out that not every illness is necessarily a direct punishment for a specific sin that was done. So I globalized it a bit by pointing out that had the world been totally connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it would have been a better world, and there wouldn't be so many colds and flus, etc. In the world. But sometimes we know that illnesses are brought about directly as an onus. Now, I don't have a watch on me, so I just got to monitor the time. Sorry. All right, let's see right there. Okay. This is on time, right? So again, some other commentaries go on a slightly different route. We're saying, let's say, Refa'inu Hashem v'nei Refa'i refers to the physical ailment, and Hoshe'inu Nivashe'a refers to help us to do tshuva. I know those two phrases, but it's the same idea that within this bracha we are davening for two things: physical refuah, and presuming that the physical ailment is a reflection of a deeper spiritual ailment, so we're asking for refuah in the spiritual ailment as well. Once you put it that way, so this bracha is basically a repeat of Hashiveinu v'nei Refa'i, but with an addition. It's a guided Hashiveinu v'nei Refa'i. Hashiveinu v'nei Refa'i is not tying it into any kind of tzara. So we want to do tshuva. And now this is more of a pragmatic kind of a tshuva. We want to do tshuva, but we want to get rid of our tzara. So the starting point is the fact that we want refuah. But we realize that just to ask for refuah without trying to heal and correct anything that's causing that, it's just going to cause the ailment to come again, so we ask for Hashem to bring about the tshuva for that. Okay. Maybe we'll begin this with a little tie into Purim, and I might not have time to finish it, so might leave a little cliffhanger here for 2 weeks' time. I don't think we'll be able to meet on Purim. I don't know, it's a different schedule. Okay, so the following presentation is certainly not without controversy. Controversy meaning that Rishonim and Achronim have taken different views on it. The way I'm going to present it is certainly taking sides in a certain viewpoint, especially as to how divine providence operates. But again, for simplicity's sake, I'm going to take a certain route, realizing and throwing in advance the fact that there are others who go in a different way. Many Rishonim, in terms of their presentation of divine providence, seem to present the following duality or tripality, three approaches in terms of how Hashem works in the world. It's all Him, it's all from Him, and especially once one realizes that Mechadesh v'tuvu v'chol yom tov ma'aseh v'reishis, that Hashem has to renew the creation every second. That means every time gravity works, that's a divine will. That's not just on automatic pilot, but it's deciding right then that gravity should operate. But nonetheless, we can distinguish between the natural order, what sometimes is called Teva, even though Rabbi Tatz pointed out that word is a make-believe word because it doesn't appear in Tanakh. It's a make-believe word because ultimately it's Hashem's will. So it was just invented to try to, probably it was borrowed from the philosophers, whatever, the Greek philosophers, but you had to come up with some kind of word, even from a religious perspective, of the natural order. I think the closest phrase you have in Midrashim is Minhogo Shalolam. That's what you have in Midrashim, not necessarily in Tanakh, but yeah. Midrashim never speak about Teva, they speak about Minhogo Shalolam. So, Hashem operates in a certain natural course of events. So let's now plug it into refuah, or ailment. So, you have a bacteria, sometimes they have these advertisements, a person sneezes, so there are 1,000 chances of people getting sick, right? And they try to draw, all the molecules floating all over the place, and that's why you got to buy Tylenol, whatever, you got to buy some kind of flu ailment. So here I am, and I'm an innocent person, tzaddik yisod olam, right? And I have no avarus necessarily, but there's someone next to me, and he sneezes, so the sneeze is going to make me sick. So that's Teva. Again, it's all the will of Hashem because He created the Teva. At any point, He could modify the Teva. But you got sick through Teva. Then you have another approach, which is what, again, it's somewhat my own phraseology, but I'm trying to whittle down, even though it's a broad topic, but whittle down some major themes that the Rishonim try to develop. And this is the Purim story. I call it Hashgachas Hashem B'toch HaTeva. In other words, there was no changing of the fundamental order of nature, but Hashem tweaked nature to make something specific happen. That it shouldn't go by the regular rules or the chance rules of nature. Now again, you got to use chance in a very... This is something Rabbi Slifkin developed. Every time I called Rabbi Slifkin, I said, notwithstanding the controversy, I'm just going to... I won't keep saying that, so... Because I'll quote him, he has a lot of very, very, very good ideas there. Chance is also a rule of nature that's programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's His will that 90% of the time X should happen, 10% of the time X should happen. And He could change those percentages or rig those percentages that dafka the people that He wants to be part of the 10% should be part of the 10%, and the people He wants to be part of the 90% should be part of the 90%. Which is a very seamless way of operating without having to change any of the rules of nature. It's just something that Slifkin developed at length and others as well, based on Zohars and other ideas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats the Teva as very dear to Him. He created it for a reason. That's His rules. And He very, very rarely will totally change the rules of Teva. There are even statements that indicate that He never does, and that even supernatural miracles are somehow shoehorned in. The Rambam has a famous statement where he writes that all of the supernatural miracles are already pre-programmed in advance, which would highlight that kind of idea. But be that as it may, and that'll perhaps take us in a different track from trying to develop. There's Teva, and then, in other words, being subject to the regular rules, there is Hashem tweaking the regular rules so that the desired outcome should happen to the specific people He wants it to happen to, and that's what happened at Purim. There was no blatant miracle where all the enemies were just stricken down by Kolos of Brokim and Hashemayim, as happened in times of Yeshua and times of Moshe Rabbeinu. It didn't happen. And then there's the supernatural. Total Shizud HaMarocha in the language of the Rishonim, and the Malbim especially speaks about this, which occurred at Tzitzit Mitzrayim, which occurred on a mini scale in Hanukkah in terms of the nace of the menorah, where just the regular rules didn't apply. Again, if you want to go with the Rambam's approach, that was already pre-programmed. So it's part of the regular rules, but we're going to call it not part of the regular rules. Otherwise, we can't really meaningfully discuss what we're about to discuss. So now let's take illness. How does a person become sick? So if there are three approaches to how Hashem operates in the world, he could become sick in one of three ways in terms of the way Hashem operates in the world. Number one, the natural way. Number two, the natural way tweaked. No, nothing happened, but Hashem wanted you to get sick, so He rigged it that you should be next to the guy with the sneeze. And number three, in a supernatural way, where it seems to defy all the regular rules. But nonetheless, the person got sick. There's no known reason why this person got sick, but the bottom line is, unless he gets miraculously cured in a second, Chalila, you know, he could have heart failure. If that's the case with illness, so that's going to be the case for a fool too. Not necessarily, but again, there are many sources that indicate this. A person could get better through the natural order. Again, I stress, this is something that's stressed by Rabbi Slifkin, but also even more so by this little volume I picked up in the YU based medicine called Chem de Gnuza, which was put out by an Avreich in Lakewood, with a very fundamental idea. So let's understand what Teva is. Teva is Hashem operating every second. So it's not like something divorced from Him. It's not Mother Nature. It's the regular rules. It's His will that you should be operating based on His regular rules. So you can get better based on regular rules. You can get better based on Hashem rigging the percentages or the regular rules of nature, meaning X percent of people die on the operating table, Chalila, X percent don't. You're going to be part of the ones that survive because Hashem wants you to be saved. And then there's a total, what the medical community likes to call medical miracles, right? Where it transcends all the known rules and just suddenly, in a moment, you get better. You know, these stories where someone came to the Chazanish or to Stipler's son or whatever, to Stipler or Moshe Feinstein or... there are many, many stories like this, and too many of them for all of them to just be, fabrications. And that's we quoted this before, the Kotzker Rebbe said, if you believe all Chassidish Maises, so you're a fool, and if you believe none of them, you're not because. So we're going to take that, you know, that route, that, you know, we have enough evidence in many of them in our own eyewitness testimony to know there's such a thing called medical miracles, and many of which happening as a result of some rabbinic tzaddik kabbalists and the real ones intervention. Person has a tumor, chalila, goes to a rav, says, tell the doctor not to worry about it. Comes back the next day, they look at the x-rays, no tumor. So how did that happen? So that's three. Again, you could could jam it into two also, meaning it breaks the whole system. So based on this whole long-winded introduction, but I think it's an important one, so the Zohar, again, I'm not in the business of learning Zohars, but this is quoted by the commentaries on the Siddur, has the following question, Rifaini Hashem ve'erafei, which is the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which the Zohar is asking on. So the Mefarshim just co-opt this for this bracha. Heal us and we'll be healed. What does that mean? Heal us and we'll be healed. Heal us. Okay. We don't say, Hashiveinu v'ino sarasecha, how do you say it? I don't even know how to say it grammatically in the passive sense. Chaneinu mitcha de'evinu haskel v'nihye mechunanim. In the passive sense. Nitchanein. I don't know how would you say it in return. Either way, Hashiveinu, return us, and we will be returned. We don't say that for some reason. What is the idea of Rifeinu Hashem v'nei Rafei? Why not just Rifeinu Hashem? What would be lacking in this bracha? It's clear that we were asking Hashem to heal us, so if He's going to heal us, we'll be healed. Hoshienu. Okay, if you save us, we'll be saved. Why does it say v'nei Rafei? Now again, this is really a question on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, which is just borrowed here. So the Zohar gives a very vague answer, but I think it highlights these three ideas of how Hashem operates in the world. The Zohar says that if Hashem heals directly, so then it's v'nei rafei. If Hashem heals through an agent, so then it's not necessarily v'nei rafei, which the Zohar explains to mean that it might work in the short term, but the makkah might come back. Again, the words of the Zohar are that if Hashem heals directly, so then it's v'nei rafei, so that refuah will last. If He heals through an agent, so then you might have a short term, but it's not going to be v'nei rafei because it might come back. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean directly? What does it mean indirectly? So I've been asking Gedolei Machshava about this, what exactly that pshat in the Zohar is. And there was Chassidish Rebbe who came to town, so I asked him all as well. But ultimately, I think they're going to be different approaches in the Zohar, but I believe it has something to do with what we laid out before. There are different ways in which Hashem operates in the world. Sometimes it's supernatural, sometimes it's in the order of nature. So minimally, what the Zohar is saying on the opposite extreme, meaning on the least effective refuah, is when Hashem operates through teva. You take an aspirin. So 90% of the chance it's going to work, maybe 99%, at least, you know, the pharmaceutical companies will have you believe that, 99% effective, right? So there's a certain great percentage going to work. Now, if everything is operating just based on direct hashgacha, or let's say level 2, level 3, where Hashem has your name on it, so that means every time I take an aspirin, it's because Hashem wants me to get healed? So that's as I mentioned, the different approaches to this. One approach is that Hashem created a teva, and it's His will that under ordinary circumstances that teva will operate. So when you take an aspirin and it works, so of course it's God doing the trick, because He created all the rules. He created your body, He created the teva, He's constantly recreating that. He created the chachma and mankind to discover that ingredient in aspirin. It's all from Him. But how are you getting the healing? So if you're getting the healing through what we call teva, so then it's not Rafei nor Hashem v'nei Rafei. At least that's not the focus of this bracha. Yes, it's from Hashem. But it's not necessarily going to be v'nei rafei in a lasting way, because the aspirin will come back. If someone has an angioplasty to unblock arteries, so we know that medically it often has reclogs. And what's going to guarantee that shouldn't happen? Or that if it does, that they should catch it on time? Well, if you're operating based on the regular rules of teva, so then it could be you're going to be in the wrong side of the probability. And then it won't be v'nei rafei. But if it's level 2, meaning where Hashem specifically is tweaking the rules of teva to make it work, or certainly level 3, that's what I think you could have this debate. The Zohar says when Hashem heals directly, what does that mean directly, without a shliach? Does that mean there's no doctor, like the stories with the Gedolei Yisrael, where just mysteriously it disappears? or maybe even with a doctor, but that it's his direct will. And by shliach, the Zohar means the shliach of Teva, which is sometimes called the shliach Hashem. So what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu then is, please have our refuah operate, at least, hopefully on level 3, but at least on level 2, so that it should be a refuah shleima l'chol makoseinu, and not just come back. Chazal ordained a tefillah, which many people don't say, but it's very recommended, it's not required to do. Every time you pop an aspirin to your mouth, you should say, "Hir etzon l'fanecha, may it be your will that this should be a refuah shleima." That this medicine or this asek that I'm doing for refuah should heal me. And then after you do it, you say Baruch Rofei Cholim. So I remember being troubled by this. I understand you're davening that the aspirin should work. I mean, do you daven every time that you put food into your mouth that it should satisfy you? Maybe we should. But what are Chazal trying to teach us here? Are we so sure that, you know, we're going to be zocha to direct divine intervention that this aspirin should work even if it shouldn't work? So you could say one of two things, I think. Many things, but one of the two things I think you could say about that is, number one, it shows us that Hashem is the master of Teva. Everything is from Him. So by davening that this aspirin should work, you are reflecting on the fact that it's working is not detached from Hashem Yisborach, but He runs the Teva. But I think it might be more than that. Every time we're davening that way, we're davening the same tefillah of Rafa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafa'i. When I pop this aspirin into my mouth, I want it to work not based on probability. In other words, not based on your regular rules of Teva. But if that's the case, the same regular rules could turn around and make me get the headache back, or worse. I want it to work because you're mitzvah, through the schus of my tefillah, that it should work. And what does that mean? That means it'll work in a lasting way, and with all the stories of the Baba Sali, you know, the trying to give holy water or whatever, you don't even need the aspirin, because it's not operating based on the regular rules of Teva. It's operating because that's what Hashem's will is. So when we daven Rifeinu Hashem v'nei Rafei, again, this is my interpretation, putting together that Zohar with this massive discussion in the Rishonim about how Hashgacha operates, we're asking Hashem to protect us in a way that should be more specific to us and not just based on the regular Teva. And so one of the main lessons of the upcoming holiday of Purim is exactly that Haman throws lots, right? That's what all the Darshanim point this out. The holiday is called Purim. You can't pick a better name. Why don't you call the holiday, you know, Venafochu or something? The way, you know, sometimes it's referred to as, you know, as a subtitle, you know, Purim, Turnabout. So many explain because the spiritual ancestor of Amalek, of Haman is, of course, Amalek. And Amalek is Mr. Mikra, right? Asher Koch HaBaderech. For him, everything's chance. Everything's nature. Mother Nature with a capital M, capital N. It doesn't operate with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so it's all going to be subject to the regular rules of chance, and there's never going to be any address to it.
That's why Purim is chance.
Exactly. That's what they point out, that the holiday is called Purim because we're demonstrating that, yes, he threw a lottery, etc., but that whole lottery was v'nafachu for us. He picked Adar, and that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was not only Niftar, but he was born that month. And Hashem rigged it without having to resort to level 3. Even level 2, He tweaked the nature to make everything work out exactly the way it should work. And that's why the famous medrash that Mordechai comes to Esther, and I forgot the exact tie into the psukim, but it says that Karohu ben beno shel Karohu is making trouble. And he refers to Haman as Mr. Mikra. I forgot the pasuk in the Megillah that it's referring to, but it's based on a pasuk there. But Chazal seemed to encapsulate Haman's entire personality as chance man. And he's the great-great-grandson of the other, his great Zayd the chance, who was Amalek. So Purim's trying to tell us that Hashem always runs the world. And whether it's on level 1, 2, or 3, it's always His will. And getting back just to conclude with this, even when the aspirin works, based on the regular rules, that's also Hashgachas Hashem. Why? Because He's deciding that your psak is that now you should work based on the regular rules. That's also Hashgacha. So there's nothing in the world that operates without direct divine decisions. Whether it's the decision to operate based on the regular rules, the decision to operate based on a rule specific for you, or to totally subvert and overcome all of the rules of nature. I hope that makes sense.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yeah.